us ask God's blessing on his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And as we look at this part of your word, may that example stand out to us. And may, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, enable us to follow Jesus' example. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Being accepted is an important aspect of anyone's life. Unfortunately, groups and some people put up conditions on being accepted into their group or community. Church should be a community where people from all different backgrounds should be accepted and welcomed because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. But are they? It's sad when stereotypes become the lens through which people relate to other people. I was once at a conference when I was much younger for people thinking about ministry. And the gentleman, well-known speaker, was giving the presentation, talked about effective ministry to men. He said, if you want men to open up, then the best way of doing this was to put a hammer in their hands or get them to fix a car or build something, but not over coffee. Now, I don't doubt that in many situations that's true, but basically he threw out every other guy who was not into cars but into coffee. I was in another situation with ministers on a retreat when at one point one of them said, you're not really a guy if you don't love sports. Bang, all those guys that don't really love sports have just been thrown out. Stereotypes. All those people that suddenly felt accepted didn't feel accepted anymore. Sad thing is that both situations were in a Christian context. What is the common denominator for Christians? Have a look around at the moment. Look around, turn your heads, look at people. You know, have a look at the people behind you. Go on. They look a bit like you, don't they? But they are also very different. Church is made up of different people from different backgrounds, cultures, language, and places. Sometimes church is the place where you mix with people you would not ordinarily mix with. Your brothers and sisters in Christ aren't the type of people you would normally get to know or be friends with. But that's the great thing about church. Different people from different backgrounds together because of what? Sports? Cars? Coffee? No. Because of Jesus. We have all come because of the mercy and grace of God in Christ that you and I have experienced. What is the common denominator for Christians? Well, Christ is. What he has done for us and what he means to us. We are all here because of Christ. And Christ is not only our Lord and Savior, but he's also our example on how to live for God and others. And the Apostle Paul presents us with an example of Christ that we should follow and which should shape church into being a community that accepts and welcomes different people because of their faith in Christ. Now in chapter 14, Paul's been addressing the need to accept others whose understanding of the gospel may restrict them in what they might eat or drink and what days they are convinced to be holy. So there's some theological opinions here about how do you implement the gospel. Now, church can be a place, I know, this may shock some of you, church may be a place where there may be disagreements over the way things are done or not done, where there might even be personality clashes or genders are challenged or where one particular person's opinion is pushed over others. It is in those situations that we are called to be Christ-like. To have a Christ-like attitude towards one another, to seek to please the other person and not ourselves. And we see this in verses 1 to 6. Now, when looking at this particular section, many people digress into, you know, which group is the strong, which group is the weak? Am I in the strong group? Am I in the weak group? I don't think that's important at this stage. What is how we, no matter if we're strong or weak, display a Christ-like attitude when disagreements or different opinions or ideas are presented. And we must never forget that the way we treat one another is an act of worship to the God who has accepted us in Christ. So the theme of this section is all about being other person-centered, putting others before yourself. Look at verses 1 and 2. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. Now, when you read the word bear, it doesn't mean that you should just tolerate other people's thoughts or opinions or about their sensitivity to issues. What Paul is here encouraging us is that we should be willingly and lovingly carrying these believers' burdens. We should feel what they feel, that they are struggling maybe with this particular issue. They believe certain things that shape their conscience to such a degree, and they feel compelled to embrace them. We should be able to acknowledge that. We may not agree with that. We may not think it's absolutely necessary. We want to be other person-centered. The verse challenges us to identify with them, support them, and not to separate ourselves from them because of what they believe or do or don't do. We are not to assert our understanding of our faith or what it means to be a Christian over others. Everyone here is answerable to the Lord Jesus. He will judge us. Now, just in case you may misunderstand where I'm going with this idea about pleasing one another, Paul, I don't think, is saying that we can't correct other people's positions theologically. It doesn't mean that we have to embrace every interesting, weird, or strange theological position. You are allowed to disagree. It's fine. But the question is, what's your aim? And I think verse 2 tells us the purpose behind pleasing your neighbour. He says in verse 2, each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. So the main point is not to win the argument, but to win the person. The aim is always to build up the other person in their faith, not to tear them down. We are to seek their good and not their hurt. Yes, that might mean challenging them about their assumptions in a gracious manner. But in doing this, we're seeking to follow the example of the Lord Jesus. Because Paul tells us in verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. Paul quotes from Psalm 69, verse 9. Not all the verse, just the second half, but this is how it goes. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. Paul, in using that verse, is presenting to us the truth that Jesus' whole life was about pleasing God. So willing was he to please God that he chose to take upon himself the insults aimed at God. As you read the Gospels, you read how people insulted Jesus. Well, the verse is saying that those insults were actually directed against God. Don't you ever wonder when you read the Gospel, the way people responded to Jesus with such, hatred at times? When you go back to when you read Acts, you don't see the same intensity. And I think, unknown to them, their insults to Jesus was actually insults to God. But Jesus was pleased to become the object of their insults. Why? So he could honour and glorify God. And he chose to do that because, remember, he had the power and he had the authority not to go through this. He could have stopped it at any time, but he didn't. He chose to please his Father. And he chose, in some sense, to please us, because all that led him to the cross for you and for me. So if Christ was willing not to please himself for God's glory and our salvation, shouldn't we be willing to please others over matters that are not essential to the faith? What are we willing to bear with so that our lives also show our commitment to God's glory and to the building up of others? Are we willing to obey God and love our brothers and sisters in Christ in such a way, that we put them first above what I want or what I think? Doesn't matter if you think you're strong, doesn't matter if you think you're weak, because interesting, both groups, strong and weak, can put pressure on each other to make them conform to their way. The aim here is to serve others by supporting and encouraging them so they can be strengthened in their faith. That's the aim. To be a man or woman shaped by Jesus means that it's not all about me, but it's about the other person. But again, that doesn't mean that you have to be a doormat seeking to please people at every cost. That is not what Paul is saying here. You're not becoming a person pleaser. God's glory, God's truth are not to be compromised. Jesus didn't please himself because he put God's glory and God's truth above himself. But if Christ is our model, then we seek to follow Jesus' example and not just please ourselves. If Jesus is our model, then we don't want to just put ourselves first, but God first, so that he will be built up, and others so that they will be built up also. Now Paul says all this was written so that we would be strengthened. Look at verse 4. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Paul reminds us that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. He brought all God's promises together. He's the one through whom God will fulfill his word to Israel and to the world. And he's our example. And as we read God's word, God blesses that to our hearts and minds. Notice that the scriptures were given so that we would endure and be encouraged, not to give up, but to take hold of the hope that we have in Christ. Even when it does happen, when we have disagreements, we look forward to the future where one day there will be no disagreements, no misunderstandings. And as you read your Bible, you will grow more as a Christian. You will grow more Christ-like. As you immerse yourself in God's word, you'll become more and more like Jesus to other people. The hope of the future will shape you so that you don't make mountains out of molehills. One day, by God's grace, we might get a building. And the last thing I would like you to do is argue over the colour of the carpet, argue over the curtains, argue over, you know, the colour of the walls. They're not important. It's not important. Your taste should not dictate how a building should be. But that's what happens. And that's where we can be challenged. Those little things can ruin what God is doing in the midst of us. Remind yourselves that we value people and relationships over programs and over projects. And I know that that's the attitude of TPC. Recently an email went out asking people to join the music ministry. And it was encouraging because I think it just shows our DNA. And I quote, as you probably know, we are biased towards a participation approach rather than a skill emphasis with our music ministry. That doesn't mean we don't think quality is important, just we want people to have an opportunity to serve and learn in music ministry. We want to encourage people. In fact, they are so encouraging when they heard that I had done seventh grade in the piano. They were really eager for me to be involved. Unrealistically, yes, but they were eager and encouraging, which is wonderful. It should always be like that, but it doesn't always happen. I was also a part of a group, a Christian group, that went out sharing the gospel with kids. Through music and skits and puppets. And one year, a new person, joined the team. And they were a bit challenging. And unfortunately, they also wanted to be, like, they wanted the spotlight. You know, this was a team effort, but they wanted to stand out. And it was challenging and it was difficult. And someone in the team, unknown to the rest of the team, talked to that person and told them they had to go because they were ruining the show. I phoned that person who had told that other person and said to them and reminded them that people and relationships are more important than the show. Interesting, their reaction was they weren't very happy with me. We must never put our presentation of the gospel above relationships, because the gospel is about relationships. It doesn't work, does it? You know? We want to present the gospel, but I don't love you because you're just not the right sort of person, or you haven't got the talent. If we're truly following Christ, then we are to please others and graciously and gently, yes, point them to Christ by our actions and by our words. There was a different way of approaching this particular person. Out of this, of course, comes a prayer that Paul wants God to answer for the Romans and for us in verses 5 and 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's prayer is that as we seek to follow the example of the Lord Jesus in pleasing others, we are being united in wanting to glorify God. For Paul's goal is unity, not conformity. Notice what he says. He wants the Romans to have the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ had. And therefore, with one mind and one voice, we glorify God. It's not conformity that Paul is pushing here. Conformity is people being forced to conform to a particular pattern without any diversity in thought or theology being allowed. You know, praise God for TPC. I know there's different theological positions in this congregation. And we love each other and we get on. Nothing stops us from proclaiming the gospel. That's good. But don't take it for granted. Don't assume that's automatic. To follow Jesus' example in pleasing others is a choice that we make. Sometimes we may actually be surprised when that choice comes about. So unity can lovingly exist with diversity, as long as we have the same goals. That's the issue. That we want to have the same mind towards each other that Christ had towards us. We want to glorify God and we want to build each other up. If those govern the way that we think, then we're not going to be people pleasers or doormats. And as we do this, we are encouraging one another to be more and more like Jesus. If we're united in the gospel, then our aim will always be to glorify God together as a united fellowship. So if you're about pleasing yourself and getting your own way, it's time to stop and repent of that attitude, because that's not Christ-like. You need to ask for God's grace to be more like Jesus. Even in the most challenging times, or with the challenging of people. We need to be like Jesus in church to one another, in Sunday school, in youth group, in session, in committee and management, in whatever ministry you might be. We need to be reminded that whoever has been accepted by Christ should be and must be accepted by us. And we see this in verses 7 to 13. The church should be a community where people can find a welcome. Sometimes in our Christian lives, acceptance is hard to find in the church. It's a challenge, I'm being realistic. But sometimes it's not so challenging outside the church. I remember being at work when over a few months a new group of guys joined the section. They were younger than me, 10 years. I had nothing in common with them. And yet, for some unknown reason, they actually accepted me and welcomed me into their group. And I was not in the best place as a Christian. At that time, I was part of a church that when you evangelized, it wasn't about bringing people to Jesus. It was about bringing people to the church that you belonged to, because that was a true church. Now, these guys showed me what acceptance could look like, which I was encouraged but also saddened, because I'd actually found acceptance amongst a group of guys who were not Christians. But as a Christian community, we should be the ones leading the way, that when people walk into our fellowship, they feel accepted because of their faith in Christ. Because that's the basis, isn't it? It's not how you look, it's not how you dress, it's not where you come from, the basis of our acceptance. Look at verse 7. Accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. No special IQ is required to join Christ's church. There's no height or weight restrictions. You don't have to pass a fitness test. Praise God. You don't have to be good looking. You don't even have to be Presbyterian or Scottish. Again, let's praise God for that one, to join Christ's church. Our acceptance is based on God's grace in Christ. And if you and I are accepted by God's grace, then we accept every single other person that walks into this building claiming to be a Christian, unless they prove us wrong. Because God's plan from the beginning was always to bring together one people from Jews and Gentiles, from all nations, into one new humanity in Christ. That is a witness to the world. Look at verses 8 to 9. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promise made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. And again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with these people. And again, praise the Lord, you Gentiles, that all the people extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. See, the Lord Jesus fulfills all of God's promises to his people Israel, but it was never limited to Israel. Through Christ, all the nations will praise God. And we saw that in the Psalms of the sons of Korah. Our hope is that in the kingdom of God there will be no divisions, and love will rule in all our relationships. Now there's a thought. Love will rule in all our relationships, because the church should be a preview of the kingdom of God, where love rules in all our relationships. Where there's one new people in Christ loving and accepting one another because of what Christ has done for them. It is this future hope that should shape you and me to be more like Christ to one another. God's grace calls us to be like Christ to one another. God's mercy calls us to be like Christ to one another. The example of Christ calls us to be like Christ to one another. The hope that we're being called to calls us to be like Christ to one another. So as Paul has been encouraging the Romans and us, that we are to follow the example of Christ. We are not just to please ourselves. We are not to make mountains out of molehills. We're not just to disagree to win an argument. We are to be a fellowship that accepts those who come into us who know Christ, no matter what background they come from. And Paul prays again that this reality will be something that the Roman Christians and us will experience in verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope for the power of the Holy Spirit. God alone is our hope and the source of our hope that will never disappoint or fail us, a hope that we can look forward to in the kingdom. It is only as we follow Jesus' example in not pleasing just ourselves that we experience joy. And I thought the kids' talk was great. It is joy. Jesus, others, and you. Easy to. If you forget the sermon, remember the kids' talk, please. Because that's how we experience the joy and peace in our fellowship. We put Jesus first, others second, and ourselves last. If Christ is our Saviour and Lord and our example, then we are called to be Christ to one another. Not to please ourselves, but to please others. To accept others because Christ has accepted them. And as we look around, there may be different people, many people here from different backgrounds, different walks of life, but you and I have one thing in common. God has called us to faith in Christ. We may have other little things in common, like cars and coffee and other things, but the thing that we have in common, the only thing that we have in common, is that we value Christ, we love Christ. We are here because of Christ and for Christ. And if that is true, then each and every one of us should seek by God's grace to be like Christ to one another, who did not please himself, but for the glory of God placed us before himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder of what church, Christian community should be like. We know that this is a choice we make every day, every time we gather, every meeting we go to, every growth group, whatever we may be involved in. We pray, Lord, that this, that your Spirit will be at work in each and every one of our lives, that as we interact with one another, that we will be like Christ to one another, that we will follow his example and please others, not just ourselves. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.